In the ongoing battle against gender-based violence in South Africa, the recent release of the South African Police Service Annual Performance Plan for 2024-2025 has sparked debate. Lisa Vatten, a seasoned expert on gender-based violence, emphasizes the need for a critical assessment of SAPS's strategies. Despite decades of initiatives, Vatten argues that revisiting these plans is imperative to enhance effectiveness. With insights into the shortcomings and potential solutions, she advocates for a more comprehensive approach to address the multifaceted nature of gender-based violence. Lisa is a PhD fellow and former honorary research associate at the Wits Institute for Social and Economic Research. Lisa, very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Well, first up, I mean, the plan that has been released for 2024-2025, what's your overall impressions of it?
Well, most of it is, in fact, all of it are things that the police have done before and have been doing for well over two decades. The plan does include actions that are necessary. I mean, for example, you are always going to have to train. You will always have new recruits who will need to know what's going on, and you will need to offer refresher courses to update existing officers in order to inform them of changes. But as you put it so well in your summary, there is an absence of critical reflection on what has been done. And I'll return to training, because I think training is a very easy, quick, visible initiative that everybody jumps to because it looks like you've done something. But the question you really have to ask is, after so many decades of training, why does it not get applied once people are at station level? And the more critical questions we have to ask, I think, is what is going on at individual stations? What's the kind of station culture that's in place that undermines all the kind of training that is being done? So I think some assessments of, well, why have some of the things not worked would be really helpful. And also some way of looking at the new initiatives that have come into effect with the amendments to the Domestic Violence Act. So some of those initiatives are new and interesting, with good potential, like the safety monitoring notice. I don't know if I can have a bit of time to just explain that.
Sure.
So what's interesting about the safety monitoring notice is it does allow for a situation where, for a magistrate, to assess somebody who's, say, in particular danger, very high levels of violence, a partner who's stalking, doesn't want to leave, doesn't want to go. It does allow for a magistrate to say, this particular individual needs additional protection. And so the police are required to go and check up on her regularly and to go inside the house to ask her how she's doing. That can be very, very, very helpful, I think, as an extra level of protection, because there are those women we know who, if we've done the research, we can start to see who are at high risk. But again, important initiative. I don't think the necessary guidance has been given as yet to the police as to what is a high-risk situation that you should be paying attention to. And the same with magistrates. And I think that leads to the second problem, is that we just aren't producing the kind of research that we need to help us understand how to target and refine and create more impactful interventions into domestic violence using the police.
So in essence, is your fear that they're rehashing old strategies and they're not adequately evaluating as to whether these strategies have worked in the past, whether they need to be modified, whether brand new strategies are required? They're just kind of recycling old ideas.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly the problem.
Is there a process where SAPS is open to engagement in this regard? I mean, how are these strategies developed? Is it developed in a vacuum where the hierarchy and the leadership of SAPS make their own assessment and determine, or are they willing to engage with other role players to improve these strategies?
That's an interesting question, because I think you can have police officers who are open to that kind of discussion, and you have those who are very closed and are irritated by alternative suggestions. But I think those who do engage, there are the pillars of the National Strategic Plan where there has been some discussion. But even so, ideas get brought to the pillar often ready made. So I'll give an example of one that concerned me and, in my opinion, needs to be challenged. And that was a recommendation around what the police should do if they get to a household where it may be that both parties have assaulted each other. So the police's instruction under those circumstances is that both parties should be arrested. That is a deeply troubling suggestion, because on being asked, it's clear that the police hadn't thought about, if there are children in the household and you arrest both parents, What are your alternative plans for those children? Hmm. You cannot leave them all alone. There's no guidance in the instructions on what to do about that. There's also no recognition of the fact that one party's violence, you want to call it, may have been defensive. They may have been trying to arrest, to defend themselves from the other party's aggression. It's very unfair then to arrest both under those circumstances. So there hadn't been the thought given to those kinds of nuances. And I think what they imply for training the police and giving them better guidance. So, you know, those are the kinds of problems that I think we see in the police, is they come up with a broad brushstroke, but don't necessarily go through to thinking about the detail.
Where to from here then?
Well, one has to continue, I think, engaging with the police. I think there also has to be a strong push to do much more research, looking at what is actual policing. What is the quality and status of policing that's happening on the ground? We have, I think, quite often very badly handled cases make the headlines, as they should, but they give us the impression that that's all the police are doing. And we might find a situation where there are some stations who are actually doing a good job. And they are important to look at because they tell us that at that station, something is happening that indicates that you can, with the same trained police officers, the same limited resources as every other station, somebody can make a difference. And we need to understand what that is, because too often I think the answer we get is, oh, there's no money. We have to, you know, we can't do the work we should be doing. And that is true, but you also see stations where people are doing their jobs properly. And we need to understand what it is that makes those stations do an effective job, whereas others, we still have the same problems of firearms not being removed, of dismissing women or saying to them, they can't come and lay charges, they're just drunk, they're just making up complaints about their partners. We need that kind of understanding. I think we also need to look at where are the very clear problems. I mean, I think sometimes the police put in perverse incentives. For instance, I'll use the example of rape. Where there is a lot of pressure on the police to reduce reports of rape, that's difficult to do. You know, it often occurs between people who are known to each other in their own homes. Hard for the police to police that. So what ends up happening is that you might find the police start juggling statistics in order to produce those reductions. We've had examples of that in the past. So, you know, you've also got to think about how do you unintentionally with, you know, because you'd like to see rape being reduced, so you set that as a target for the police. Superficially, that sounds like a good idea. In practice, it's a really bad idea. So I think those, we need to look at how those everyday, ordinary things that you don't necessarily think about, like, why did training go wrong when people arrive at the station? Why do performance indicators and targets undermine what we want to do? I think those everyday practicalities are also important to look at, in addition to things like, have the laws that we have recently created made any effect? Are women in any better position than they were before those laws?
All right, Lisa, thank you for your time. Always appreciated.
Thank you.
Have a great day in the world.
You too. Thank you. Bye.